Good morning. This is Victoria with Service Dog Success, the best podcast for all your service dog questions and answers and information, probably more information than you wanted to know. And what am I doing today? I am multitasking. So when I do my morning skincare and my morning makeup, sometimes I'll watch videos, sometimes I'll listen to music, sometimes I'll do makeup tutorials, but I keep saying I want to get back into doing the Service Dog Success podcast. So guess what? Now we're multitasking and I'm gonna at least once a week do a podcast for Service Dog Success and record it. It'll go up on the podcast, which is found everywhere good podcasts are listened to, and it will also go up on YouTube, hence the video part of it. Ta-da! See how things go like that? So just did skincare, just put on sunscreen, and it's kind of a gloomy, rainy day outside. It's supposed to be raining today on and off. I don't know if we're gonna hit up the farmer's market is one of our options today, or if we're gonna hit up Publix, which is one of our grocery stores. Jamie has a new dog in that he wants to take out and work. I was up there working with the pup a little bit last night. The pup, I think 10 months old, super sweet dog. But we have ours that work. Ours start going home next week. Ah, can you believe it? So I thought I would talk about something that's been on my mind lately, which is realistic expectations with your service dog. Okay? So I go off on tangents. Hopefully I'll stick on task, but you never know with me. So first we're gonna start with who am I? I am Victoria Warfel. I am all things service dogs. I started out as a trained up my own service dog, other people coming up to me asking questions. So starting out as a service, a dog trainer, service dog trainer, we had our service dog training program. And I've talked about all those before. I'll talk about them all again in the future too, I'm sure. That's not the first time you're gonna hear this story. But now what we do is we breed, raise, and train golden retriever service dogs to help people with disabilities. And some of our dogs go off as pet dogs and as therapy dogs also, okay? Primarily goldens. Now we've done two poodle litters and one Doberman litter in the past, and it's nice because they've been able to, as much as goldens are the best, for some people they need a dog who doesn't shed, right? Hence the poodle, not the Doberman. Doberman still shed. And the Doberman was because I had Candy and she was an amazing service dog and she passed all her health testing with flying colors. So I felt like I needed to do it because Dobermans as a breed are getting the short end of the stick sometimes health-wise. So I did do a Doberman litter. Dobermans, however, aren't a breed I recommend as a service dog. It's Goldens. Like, there's a reason that we breed Golden Retrievers. Goldens are the best when it comes to service work, in my opinion, for what we do and what we need. But realistic expectations. So some of our pups can go home at 8 weeks old. Now at 8 weeks old, this is what we kind of expect from our pups. Well, what our dogs do is at 3 days old, we start them with early neurological stimulation and early scent introduction. That's at 3 days old. They get handled in grooming, 2 to 3 days old and onward. They've started on clicker training as soon as their ears open, and that's around 3 weeks old, and eyes open about that same time. Usually they come right around each other there. But we start them with the clicker, so they come clicker charged at 8 weeks old. We've started them on potty training around 3 weeks old. They're a little more mobile, and we put potty trays in there, and then we have like rabbit pellet trays, cat litter boxes type of thing. So they're really good for potty training. They're not used to, they don't just poo and pee everywhere, right? They know to go to their spot and poo and pee, which transitions over to, you know, outside pretty easy, and don't poop in your crate because that's gross. And if you do, you know, case of emergency, poop here on your potty tray. Okay. So we do those. We do, proprioception. What is proprioception? You ready for your new word of the day? Proprioception is the body's, your awareness of your body in space. And since I am a Doctor Who fan, I always include and time with that. Awareness of your body's positioning in space and time. So if you close your eyes and reach your hand out to the side, you know where your hand is, right? You know where your arm is, you know where your elbow is because of proprioception. It's the awareness of your body. And some dogs don't have that as much. You know, some people don't have that as much. So what we like to do is have obstacles for them and introduce them to these obstacles, right? Pivots are a good one for proprioception because it's the awareness of the body in space. So we will do those. The clicker charged, potty training started, crate training started. Sometimes they'll start knowing their name if we know what their name is. They'll know puppy, puppy, puppy means come when called. And food. We work with them on taking food from hand, which we do feed raw, so it gets a little icky sometimes. And because we feed raw, we will also introduce kibble, you know, for training. And guess what we just found out about is how awesome it is. Vital Essentials rebranded and expanded their product line. So we've used Vital Essentials for years as training rewards. But we were at Global Pet Expo the last few days. My whole team was there. It was so nice. But Vital Essentials has freeze-dried formula food and frozen formula food. And they're really awesome. So I really like those. And we got a whole bunch of it in. I think that's what we're going to transition over for training treats and such. Because right now, I mean, we like Happy Howies. We're continuing with Happy Howies, of course. You know, they're awesome. But we need something for in our pouch. I like things that aren't going to go bad. And with the Happy Howies, I have to remember to dump it at night, which, trust me, my bigs like that a lot. Because they're like, yes, please. You just took off your training pouch, your fanny pack. That means you're gonna dump the food for me, right? And they get super stoked about that. So we have the Vital Essentials for them and we get them used to that. And that's at 8 weeks old. They also, all of our puppies go home with our online course. They actually go, the owners get it beforehand whenever they confirm that yes, they're ready for a puppy from this litter. Second payment is due, and at that point I add them to the online course. So that usually happens around first or second week. You know, it depends on whenever I start reaching out to people. Depends on if I'm sick or not. No. How busy we are and all. Usually people start doing that, like I said, anywhere from the next day to like a week later. So they have at least 6 weeks usually before the puppy goes home to start that online course, which I like. So we provide that as a resource. I donate that, Rich and I donate that to Hope because on its own, we charge $997 for that. Why not $1,000? Because it's just what we priced it at. And we haven't adjusted the price even though we should have. We reshot the whole thing about a year and a half ago. It's amazing. But we want to keep it, you know, affordable for people too. But we include that with every puppy that goes home. And for every puppy that stays as one of our puppy programs for training, what we do is we donate one to somebody else. So if your puppy stays for one of our puppy programs, a scholarship is given to somebody who needs it. So we have a scholarship up on hopeservicedogs.org, which is our website for that. So at 8 weeks old, puppy's not going to be able to make it through the night. Like I said, we do the potty tray. You can do a big crate. You could do an X pen. We have a little puppy playground set up for them and they're not going to be able to make it through the night. Now, if you're on top of things, you most likely can get the puppy out and he won't be having a lot of accidents, but that's how it goes. Our puppies also do not know what the word no means. That's one of the things I've had people come back and tell me is he doesn't know what no means. Of course he doesn't know what no means. He's an 8-week-old puppy. We don't use no. Why would we use no? No is a don't you ever do that again. So what's the dog doing that you never want him to do again? Is the dog picking up sticks and rocks and shoes and socks? Well, shoes and socks, that's on you. Like, don't leave your shoes and socks where your puppy can get them, especially at 8 weeks old, because they shouldn't have free run of your house at 8 weeks old. Well, what about sticks and rocks outside? I can't pick all those up. No, you can't, but you know what you can do? Remember when I told you that our clicker is very charged up for these puppies? Remember whenever I said that I wear a fanny pack with treats in it for the dogs all the time? Well, or kibbles type of food, like not just like super good snacks that are really stupid for dogs, like healthy snacks that's like their food, right? Anyway, if they pick up something, I use one of my marker words, because the first thing we need to do is establish good communication with the dog. And he picks up something he shouldn't, I call him to me or I click. And if he comes running to me, he gets the food. Even if he drops the item, don't care. I'm still going to trade you out or give you something. My parents had done this with one of their dogs, with Molly, I think it was, when they lived up in Myrtle Beach. They were saying that she kept bringing in leaves. Mom has an umbrella tree that she's had since my brother was little. So this umbrella tree is basically a member of the family. And she, it drops its leaves. You know, they've moved with it. We got it up in Connecticut, I want to say. So it's lived in Connecticut, Wisconsin, Kentucky, South Carolina, and it's now in Florida. But she has this umbrella tree and it drops its leaves every year. You know, not all of it, but, you know, it'll drop a lot of its leaves. And the dog would go and pick them up. And she's like, Vic, the dog keeps picking up these leaves. And I don't know what to do about it. And I said, reward her. You know, Mom kept a little thing of food right there, a little thing of treats right there beside where she, you know, she usually is. I said, if you see her with one, call her over to you. Be happy about it. Don't be mad. Don't be, you know, like, oh, she's got it again. Like, it's a fun game for her. And when she comes to you, trade her out for leaf for a treat. And if she drops it, you're still going to reward her. Okay, Mom says. So she starts doing it. The dog loves this game so much that she starts bringing Mom leaves in from outside. So she thought that that was the currency to pay for treats, is leaves from anywhere, which is kind of cute. It's really funny. So it went good though, right? So that's what we do with the puppies. And one of the things that we noticed, because remember, I've been a professional dog trainer for close to 20 years now, is that, what was the thing that we found that most people had an issue with their dog and they wanted was the oops retrieve, or just a retrieve in general. And so many times the dog would take it and run away. Wouldn't it bring it to you? Wouldn't, if you're trying to get something in their mouth, they might spit it at you, they might run away, because they had been taught from puppyhood, for a lot of them, that things in your mouth is bad, okay? We don't want that. At all, we don't want that. We want things in your mouth means an opportunity to play the trade game, and you're gonna bring it to me and I'm gonna give you some food. Woohoo! How fun is that, right? So we like that game a lot more. So we work with them on that, with the puppies. So if they have something in their mouth that they shouldn't, it is a time for the trade game. It is not time for let's make a deal time, right? It's not time for angry. It's not time for ripping things out of the dog's mouth. It's not time for scolding them or beating them on their little bum. Don't do that anyway. It's stupid. Don't beat the dog on his little bum. It's bad. But I've heard it from people. I'm like, why are we doing this again? Like, don't do that. Don't do that at all. So that's where the dogs are at 8 weeks old. Now they can stay until they're 12 weeks old. At 12 weeks old, we've started their training. So what do we first teach the dogs with us? And we have this broken down into levels, and I'll go over levels at some point when I'm not doing my makeup and a little bit distracted, right? But it is, what is it you ask? 12 weeks old, they've continued with potty training, and that should be going pretty good. They've started better with their name. It should be better with their name. They've started luring, so we'll teach them what luring is. I will work on capturing, which is they do something and we mark and reward it. Okay. We do sits, downs, heel, paws up, spin and twist, but it's a lot of foundation skills. A lot of times people will tell me that they got their new puppy in, okay? And the dog knows sit and leave it and know. Well, sit and leave it and know are not the first things that you should be teaching your puppy at all. Not sit, leave it, know. Really? Ugh. How about this? What are, and I'm going to give you time to think about it, but what are the first three things that you teach your dog? You get a new puppy into your house, new puppy, 8 weeks old. What are the first three things that you teach your puppy? Now, this was asked in one of my dog trainer groups, or dog groups, maybe it was breeders or trainers. I don't know what it was, but it was something, right? You know what the answers were for most of them? I'm talking slower than usual because I want you to think about it and tell me what your answers would be. Because for most people, it was maybe their name, which, okay, I can get that. It was no, it was leave it, it was drop it. What type of freaking fun life is that for your dog? No, leave it, drop it. How about we set the puppy up for success and we set up his aquarium, his training environment thing. Dolphins are in an aquarium, right? Oh, dolphins shouldn't be in an aquarium. Should or shouldn't, they are, right, when they're here. And whenever it's time to train dolphins, which positive reinforcement trainers always talk about dolphin training, when it's time to train dolphins, there's not a lot of distractions. You're not training them out in the open water. You're training them in an aquarium. So when we do our training, our office is where we do a lot of the training in the beginning, and that's our aquarium, okay? Same as what the dolphins get. And what we do is set up as little distractions as possible. If we have things out there, it's okay for the dogs to interact with them, okay? So what could the dogs do? Well, we put up some videos of what it is. We might have upside down black feed bowl, right? That could be paws up, that could be get on it, it could be sniff it, I don't care. Like if you interact with it, I'll mark it. It could be a target stick. It could be a place board, right? We've got all sorts of things that will stick up in the environment and we'll rotate them through. And if the dog interacts with them, awesome. You know, let's mark that, let's reward that, and let's continue with it. What do I think? Now I'm gonna answer the question. What do I think, in my opinion, what are the top three things that I want to train the dog? The first three things, the very first three things to train my dog is gonna be, I need a marker system so I have a way to communicate with them. For us, that's clicker or break, means I like what you did, come to me and get a food or reward. Yes, sometimes people use good or, but we use yes and we use the name of the behavior. So if the dog's in a sit, it's sit. If the dog's in a down, it's down. If the dog's in place, it's place. That means stay in position, room service is coming to you. You could also include no means don't ever do that again. Means you were successful, you're not successful, so go back to what you were doing when you were successful. And their name, right, if you want to do that. But we also don't use the name for everything because it's annoying and aggravating. So we use it the right way. If I'm talking to you and I say, don't you agree with me, your name here, and you weren't paying attention, you're still not paying attention whenever I say your name at the end of the sentence. But what do a lot of people do? Come here, dog. Come on, come on, come on, dog. Get your butt over here. Dog, come on. Dog doesn't understand any of that, right? You know, it would be a better way to do it. Dog, I have his attention. Come. It's a lot easier, right? So it's going to be sequencing, proper sequencing, which includes the markers, and it's going to be food, and it's going to be play, right? Those are what I start the dogs with. And it's what I think you have to start the dogs with. Because if we're doing it right, it doesn't matter, you know, leave it. Yeah, you can work that in the future. But in the beginning, I want my puppy to be confident in his environment and explore in his environment. And a lot of times these no, 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 don't do, is not setting your dog up for success. It's setting your dog up for a lifetime of, ooh, I've got to be cautious about things. Since we're training service dogs, I like my service dogs to be a little more bold and a little more confident. And that will help carry over to everything in life, right? Whenever it's time to get on the Dumbo ride for the first time, because most people know what the Dumbo ride looks like, we want the puppy and the dog who will get on it confidently, not uncertain, right? We don't want the uncertainness at that point. We want the confident, an optimistic learning, not pessimistic, optimistic, okay? So that's our goal with raising puppies. Now, if you want a pessimistic learner for whatever reason, do the opposite of what I tell you. But we want an optimistic learner who is awesome. So at 12 weeks old, they're getting these concepts, right? We're introducing these concepts to them. It's a lot of food lore stuff. Food lore, and then market and capture it. So in the beginning, for example, when we're teaching sit, which we're working on now with these 10-week-olds, we'll lure them into position, click, and feed out of position. So then they have to get back into position. As they're getting it, we can start extending it out and say, sit, room service. Sit, room service. Click, out of position to get the food. Okay, does that make sense? It is magical. Absolutely magical. I love what we do, and I love seeing the puppies learn. When Luke was little, Luke's 22 now, right? When Luke was little, every age I was like, this is my favorite age. And that's how I feel about these puppies. And I love that part of it. You know, it makes it so much easier to love every age. You know, this is the best age ever. At 16 weeks old, the pups have been fully vaccinated. Anywhere from like 3.5 months to 4 months old, they're fully vaxxed. We might, before they're fully vaxxed, we might do an outing or two. Here are our rules for outings. You ready? For the puppies, they cannot go to a dog heavy place. So no pet stores, no place where they're gonna run into a bunch of dogs. Like Global Pet Expo would have been bad. They can go to, we're in Florida, so the service dogs in training can go anywhere fully trained service dogs can go. If we're going to be a while, you know, like we do sometimes take them to Disney or Universal because they're not dog friendly there. Makes sense, right? They're in their strollers. So we have strollers for them. I think we have 3 strollers, I think. So we'll pop one or two of them in a stroller and we're doing an outing. And during this outing, they get to sleep. They get to rest. They get to just sit and watch the world go by, which is enjoyable for them and for us. You know, so we get to enjoy, but it's always about them. If it's too much for them at the parks, we leave. We're about an hour from the parks, so it's totally doable for us to do that. But we want them to do good and to set up for success. And oftentimes it's just absorbing the atmosphere, watching the world go by. We'll take them out on potty breaks, of course. We'll take them out for little training sessions. And of course, we take them out for character photos because, yeah, I'm a photo whore like that. Okay. So at 16 weeks old, maybe we've done one of the grocery stores around here. Maybe we've done lunch out, right? But it's not... They haven't done a lot of public access stuff. They're just learning these foundation skills. And a lot of times people want to skip the foundation skills in order to move to the sexy part of it. What's the sexy part of dog training? I don't know. For service dogs, a lot of times people think that it's the task work and the public stuff, but then they miss the foundation skills and then you play catch up for life with the dog. And that is not fair to them and it's not fair to you. So we want nice foundations on the dog. And what's a foundation skill? Foundation skill includes lure and reward, the markers, sequencing, and understanding. And that's basically like teaching them the alphabet, the ABCs. As they get that, then they can put together words and sentences and paragraphs and stories, and it's a lot easier for them, okay? At 6 months old is our next big tier, next big jump for go homes. Now, there are fear periods that the dog's gonna hit. And that's always a little bit harder. There's fear periods the dogs are gonna hit, and they're going to work their way through them. But it's something that you have to set your dog up for success, right? So you can't say, he's not certain, so forget about it. You know, we're never gonna do it. No, you wanna set your dog up for success. How do you tell if your dog's gonna be successful or not? Oftentimes is, will they take food or will they not take food? If your dog's not taking food, or if your dog's not being successful, instead of pushing through, what can you do? Look back to see, if I make it easier, will my dog be successful? For example, when we were working our 10-week-old puppies yesterday, something pretty neat happened, and I actually got it on video. What happened was Sam was working one of the puppies and had the puppy on place. Is this the 10-week-olds? No, this is one of the 5.5-month-olds, which makes a lot more sense. But we did it with both of them, right? Because it worked out really good. So puppy was on place, and she went over and she sat down on the ottoman. And the puppy broke place, got up, and came over to her. So she got the puppy back onto place, did not reward the puppy for getting back onto place, which she shouldn't have. Like, she did the right thing there. And then, because that was too much to go to the ottoman and sit, she went to the couch, which was closer, and kind of sat and kept an eye on the dog, got up and rewarded the dog. So it was shorter distance and shorter duration. There's distance, distraction, duration are the 3 D's of dog training. So that worked out really nicely. And then the dog was successful, right? And so then she went over and instead of sitting on the ottoman, she put one knee on the ottoman. She took a knee on it. And the dog did super good. So she marked and went over and rewarded. Now we mark at the farthest position because again, remember, the dogs understand. The dogs understand our communication. They understand what the markers were, they understand how the markers work. So if we get up and we move away and we're the farthest distance away from the dog and we mark, the dog's like, okay, cool. You marked and you said yes, or you marked and you said place, which is what I'm doing right now. Therefore, I know that you're gonna come to me and deliver me a treat. So I'll just stay here because that's easier than getting up and going to you knowing that I'm getting the treat, okay? So we have that nice communication and the nice payoff from it. But if your dog is struggling, even if you say, my goal today is to have the dog in place and go and sit on the ottoman, if the dog is not being successful, how can we get the dog to be successful? You know, repeating is just setting the dog up for repeated failures. He sees the failure, you know, 3 times in a row, and that's not good. Instead, if we say, okay, if that was too much, let's do half and see, and if the dog's successful, we can play with it. Because one of the things I do like to say is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? That's the joke. I guess, story, saying, thing. So how do you train a service dog? You know, one step at a time. And the problem though is people want to rush. They don't want to have to wait 2 years to have the dog who is fully trained. They want to rush it. And what happens when they rush it is things get missed. And the things that get missed could be things like the foundation skills. Confidence in new situations, the resiliency. We like emotionally resilient dogs. I love emotionally resilient dogs. It's the best. And to me, I have a sneeze coming on. To me, having an emotionally resilient dog is way better than having a dog who's going to, yes, sir, obey you. I don't want that, especially in a service dog. Why? Because what we want is, what do they call it? Some sort of obedience. It's not defined obedience. Crap, I'm getting a brain fart. But basically, you know, is he going to do what you tell him to do, or is he going to do what he knows he needs to do? So if you have your dog on place, and all of a sudden he needs to task, should he stay on place or should he task? He should task, right? So say he's a medical alert dog and his spidey sense goes off and you need him. He shouldn't just stay on place because, oh well, you told him to stay on place. We don't want that. We want the dog who's going to have that ability to differentiate whenever he's needed versus he's not needed. Okay. Then, because of that, apparently I did not have a sneeze coming on, but we want that, right? So it's teaching the dog that there are things more important and what's the hierarchy and but it's taking the dog's welfare into account, his emotional state into account, what he's doing, where he's going, what's needed, and what you need and what he should be doing, right? So it's 6 months old, they're still learning this. How long does it take to train up? A lot of times people will say 2 years because that's whenever the dog, you know, is starting to head out of those teenage years and is a little more mentally and emotionally mature, which is nice. But it could take longer. And if you need a mobility dog, you can't start doing mobility till they're about 2 years old anyway. You know, and you get vet approval. It's not just 2 is a magic number. You do need vet approval for it. Preferably orthopedic vet approval. I tell people, I did not approve your dog for mobility. That is up to your vet. If you're doing weight-bearing mobility stuff especially. Even lightweight bearing mobility, that's your vet. That is not me who okays that. We don't often start doing harness work on a dog until they're a year. And then we'll start getting them used to wearing a harness. And wearing a harness and using a harness are different. But we'll use the vests and the capes until then. Whoops. Until they're about a year. And then oftentimes we'll use it after too, right? So at 6 months old, they've started public access training. You know, they've been out in public multiple times, but they're still 6 month old puppies. Now remember whenever I told you that I've been a professional dog trainer for close to 20 years, whenever we were doing this and working with dogs outside of our breeding program, oftentimes trainers will get phone calls from people whose dogs are obnoxious hellions at 4 months old, at 5 months old. And that cute little puppy that they thought was going to be all great is a lot bigger commitment than they were expecting and a lot more work than they were expecting. So what we would tell people whenever they would contact us for training, and we were talking about when we can get them in, if we had availability, it was, well, if they come in before they're 6 months old, we work on puppy stuff. If they come in after 6 months old, we can work on adult stuff. Because there's a lot that needs to be done for the dogs so they can fully understand this world that we've made. Okay. So at 6 months old, they are not a finished service dog at all. And if anyone gave you the impression that a 6 month old had the emotional or physical maturity to handle being a full-time service dog, if it was from us, you didn't understand what we were telling you. And if it was from others, you didn't understand what they were telling you, or they didn't understand it. Because I've also seen a lot of trainers popping up lately. When I first got into it, it was so hard to find a trainer who knew anything about service dogs, right? And now we have trainers popping up right and left who are, you know, I train one dog. I train my own personal service dog. Therefore, I'm a service dog trainer. No, you're not. Stop it. It's doing a disservice to all of these people. We do have trainers who are starting their journey who work with us. And you know what we do? We've done this for years. We mentor them. We shadow them. We help them out with it. I had one of them afterwards who, she'd come out and she'd volunteer and she'd help us out. She'd often just bring her personal dog and work her personal dog. But then afterwards, she was complaining that I never even got paid. No, you were volunteering and you were being taught a skill.
And we're a nonprofit.
We're a 501c3 nonprofit, like you're volunteering. But even whenever we were just the for-profit, people would come out and volunteer to get hands-on with the dogs and learn a skill. And many of them went on to have their own successful dog training businesses. So that's kind of cool that we're able to offer that to people. But it's not a paid gig. I'm not paying you to teach you for you to go and start up your own business without me, for the most part. You know? Like, but you can come out and volunteer, and I'm happy to share with you everything that I've learned. But then guess what? They have us as a resource to fall back on, which is really nice, because it's not them trying to take on the world, because it's too much. There's so much going on. It's much easier to have that team that you can go to whenever questions come up, because just because you have a question doesn't mean that, you know, you're stupid and know nothing. It means that you have a question. And sometimes it can take you a little bit longer maybe to see it, to fully understand it, to grasp it, you know, and there's so much involved with it that there's no problem with that. But anyway, 6 months old, they've started public access at this point, you know, multiple times. We try to hit at least once a week, depending on what it is we're working on. We've done the parks and we've done the mall. We've done Walmart, we've done grocery stores, we've done restaurants. You know, the ones around here know us, and they love it whenever we bring the dogs in. So we've done that. We've started task training. We're still working on, you know, the foundations. You know, getting them into different environments, doing different things with them. And task stuff. So, like, we've started, but nothing is finished at this point. You know, they might have an accident every now and then, especially going to a new home if you don't let them out. Sometimes people will ask me, well, you know, do you teach the dogs potty bowels? No, I don't teach the dog potty bowels because a lot of times when they're here, yes, they have some freedom in the house, but I've got 6 doors in my house that lead to outside. 2 of them have doggy doors, and those doors are often left open through the day so the dogs can let themselves in and out, my adults. Now, the puppies and all, they don't have that option, okay? Instead, the puppies go out whenever we take them out. You know, they might need to go potty, but our job is to anticipate their needs beforehand so they don't have potty accidents. So when they wake up from naps, they go out. After they eat, they go out. Multiple times a day, they go out. They'll go out, we'll train, they'll play. It's fun. I enjoy it. They enjoy it. It's neat seeing them. And like, it's rainy yesterday. It's going to be rainy today. They're still going to go out and play in the rain because service dogs, we don't want them to be afraid of the rain. Okay. So we have a lot that we need to do with them, but they don't know no, and they don't know jingle bells to go outside. So you watch them as you walk into the door and looking at you. When you get up, when you get them out of the crate, take them outside. Like, you shouldn't have to wait and see if he tells you to take him outside. You just take him outside as much as you can. And you notice how often is he going potty. Like I said, usually by 6 months old, he's doing a pretty decent job at it. Or she. Either way. You know, like, they'll let you know if they have to go potty. And they'll do it. Go outside and they'll go potty, and then you're good to go. But nothing's completed. Okay? They're still only 6-month-old puppies, but they're not the heathen 6-month-old puppies that we would get in for training at all. They are, you know, tasks started, and some tasks might be going better than others. We have the foundation skills in place. Foundation, yeah. Skills in place, and those are going well, which is good. But there's still more to do because, again, what is the emotional and the mental and physical and emotional maturity level of these dogs, right? They are not ready to take on the world. They are still puppies. So what we do is we, people coming in, and I just saw Carly leaving. It looked like our car, and I thought, well, no, Rich is in the shower behind me. I hear him. In the bathroom there. Unless he jumped out the window and left the shower running to take the car somewhere. But anyway. Yeah, so they have that emotional and physical maturity to do. Now, when is a dog considered a service dog versus an in-training, or I've also heard the term service dog prospect, or like we call them service puppies, okay? What is the difference? Legally, service dog and then sometimes service dog in training are covered under the different states. Federally, it's only service dogs. State-wise, they can't address the service dogs in training. Like I said, in Florida here, our service dogs in training have the same accessibility as fully trained service dogs, which makes it nice. It's one of the reasons why we stay here in Florida. But when we travel, if we travel with one of the pups, we always look up to see what the laws are in the different states. Okay? But we need to be proactive. So how are we proactive? Not the face wash proactive. How we proactive is when you get your driver's license. Yeah, I know I'm skipping around a little bit, but when you get your driver's license at say 16, are you the world's most greatest, bestest driver ever? No, you're not. But you have the bare minimum qualifications to safely operate a vehicle. Same thing with the service dogs. They're not going to be absolutely perfect. Never ever make a mistake. They're still dogs, and people want to forget that when they call them medical equipment. Yeah, they're still dogs, and they still have their own needs, and their own needs must be met. One of the things that really frustrates me and gets my goat is whenever people expect the dog to do everything for them, but they don't want to do anything for the dog. They expect the dog to save their life, which is like that's what a service dog should do, but they're not willing to give back anything. They're not willing to take the dog's emotional, physical, and mental state into account. They're not willing to play with the dog. They're not willing to give the dog, you know, maybe even the rest time that the dog needs. They want to just go, go, go. And it's like, no, but your dog's done right now. You can't. And there's a reason Bart works well for me is he's ready to go when I'm ready to go. And he's willing to play whenever it's time to play, you know. For him, it could always be time to play. But his needs come first. If I want to do something and he cannot do it, either we don't do it or he don't do it. Whenever we went to, Jamie and I went to APDT conference last year, and there was a dog flu going around, and we had a litter of puppies on the ground, and we had one that was due, I think, either right before we left or right after we got back. I think it was right before we left. But either way, for the dogs, Bert stayed home because of the two litters of puppies on the ground and this dog flew going around and going through Orlando Airport, and it was going up to Kentucky, Northern Kentucky / Cincinnati. So it would be two airports and a conference that, while it's not a dog-friendly conference, there were going to be service dogs there. I couldn't take the risk with the puppies, so Bert stayed home. I put his needs and their needs ahead of my needs, and instead Jamie got to be my service human for the time, right? And it worked. It was hard. It was hard on Bert. It was hard on us. Bert actually went out to my parents' house and had a vacation of his own, which he enjoyed. But it's difficult because he's used to being with me all the time. I'm used to being with him all the time. My husband gets mad when I tell people this, but I'm with him more than I'm with Rich, you know, because he comes with me everywhere. He comes into the bathroom with me all the time. He doesn't, you know, leave me for hours to go shopping. I don't leave him for hours to go shopping. So we have their needs that need to be taken into account. And so at 6 months old, like I said, the dogs have a fantastic foundation of everything. So much further along than any other 6 month old dogs I've seen. However, they're still 6 month old puppies, and that has to be taken into account. They are not fully trained and done up dogs who won't require anything except maybe, I mean, heck, even your phone you have to charge up every night, people. At a year old, where are the dogs at a year old? They are way farther along. So what is it? It's not like they're learning, boom, something new. What they're learning is they're learning better public access, better task training, those better foundationals, the more advanced, the ability to cope with more, to handle more, to what to do in these different situations. Some things become a little more automatic which is nice. But there's so much going on in the world then for them, right? So it's not just like, well, the magical thing that they learn at this age is they're going to be better off leash. You know, they're going to be better in all different situations. And then at 2 years old, usually around 2 years old is whenever, like, the dog gets it. I know whenever I've transitioned from my older dog to a newer dog that I'm working as a service dog, and there are times that I remember whenever it was Arrow and Gypsy. Arrow my Malinois and Gypsy my Golden. And it was in the morning we went to Brownwood, I think it was to the farmer's market, okay? And I had Gypsy, and it was work, right? It was work. But then we did, that evening we went out to the movies, pre-COVID, right? We went out to the movies and it was Arrow. And I didn't even have to think. I didn't have to ask him to do anything. Like, he knows what to do because we had been together. He was, I think, just about 5 at the time, 4 or 5 years old. We'd been together since he was 7 months old. Like, he knew what to do. He knew what I needed in the different situations because we had practiced it for so many times. And I didn't have to tell him to do anything. And it was just, you know, like, yeah, this is nice, having the dog who gets it. Well, guess what? Gypsy was, I think, maybe 4 months old at the time. Like, she got it too, eventually. You know, like, she got it, and now she's fantastic with her new family. Like, she's doing great. But it takes time for these puppies to learn. And what I've also seen happen is that people can be quick to wash out or they can be too slow to wash out. Some dogs are not meant to be service dogs. And it could be because they have physical issues, behavior issues. We had one who was a client dog before we started our breeding program. They had a German Shepherd, I think around 10 months old. They wanted to get the dog started as a service dog training. So they came out and I'm watching the dog move in the yard, like, cause we took him off leash to do some play. And I'm watching him move. And I'm like, something about his gait looks funny. And they, I said, you know, you have to take him into the vet and see what's going on with this. So they take him into the vet and he had, at 10 months old, elbow dysplasia in one elbow and hip dysplasia in both hips. So the dog couldn't be a service dog, right? So sometimes things like that happen. What else can happen? We had another dog who, I always tell, you know, golden retrievers are the best, right? But it's not just any golden retriever. So what had happened was this woman went and found a breeder who, Bert, he's rubbing all over the IKEA box. He's like, but I love the IKEA box. I'm doing a video right now. This person had gone out to a breeder who had a dog available, goes, gets the dog, and it was 4 months old. And she tells me that she did the Volhard temperament test on this 4 month old. Volhard's for a 7 week old, not a 4 month old. Well, she had to do it multiple times before the dog could pass. No, that's definitely not supposed to be how it goes. And the dog had food aggression issues. And the dog eventually went after another dog she had in the home who was a little brachycephalic breed, and that little dog's eye popped out. Like, this dog should not be a service dog. And she was adamant the dog was gonna be a service dog. I had another one who the dog did not want to be a service dog, and the mom's like, well, too bad, he's gonna be a service dog. Like, that's, no, you can't do that. So sometimes dogs do need wash, but sometimes people are like, oh, the dog sneezed, he's washed. Up, the dog got one ear infection, but I've never cleaned his ears and he swims every day, but he's going to be washed. Like, no, really? You can't, I mean, you can do that, you can do whatever, but, you know, sometimes they really want to do it and you're not giving them the opportunity, and sometimes they don't really want to do it and you're forcing it on them. So it is that special. I do firmly believe that our dogs know that they are special and that they have a higher calling, and that they're meant for something more. And I think they do very good with it. So I am wrapping up because I am all done and now I'm just fussing around. So I'm gonna wrap this one up. We're hitting just about 50 minutes, so yay. The team's arriving, so we're gonna get started with the day. Rich is done with his shower, so we're gonna see what today brings. I hope you all have a super awesome weekend or week or day or whenever it is that I happen to get this uploaded, because we're back. Do or do not, there is no try. So I'm not gonna try to get the podcast started. The podcast is back. And hopefully I just remember to do it. But this should work out good. Where can you find me? HopeServiceDogs.org is our main website. Heart and Soul Dog Training is our other site, but Heart and Soul doesn't really do anything because Hope's taken over our lives anymore. If you need training, I do have a few trainers that I do recommend. Sam goes between Florida and North Carolina and Wyoming. Jamie and Tara are here. We have a couple other ones that we're working on getting ready, and all of them do video classes. So you'll be good to go no matter what. You reach out to me for that. Social media, we're on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, personally and professionally. And you can follow all the links and stuff in the bio. Or message me and I'll tell you what it is. Or you can probably search my name, Victoria Warfel, and you'll come up with everything. We also have our e-newsletter that we work on sending out once every few months. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But we do have that available also. Otherwise, let me know if you guys have any questions. If you guys want any topics addressed, let me know, because that's always a good thing to have, a little queue of ideas. And I will catch you next time.